When the 12th star begins to shine in the sky, the Yamani will reach Yemen, the Sufyani will ascend the pulpit, and the war will begin. These are things I said 4 years ago on Good Night Iran, and they have been brought before Turkey and the structure that exists there, and no one listened. We said that the world has a group of people who want to start World War III in 2018 and 2022 to eliminate more than half of the world. If the empire of Sufism, meaning the empire of Cyrus the Great, the rule of the wise, does not begin in Iran, and the legislative laws are not based on the empire of Sufism, many things will happen. Welcome to 84, my friend. Welcome to Restart. Yes, well, welcome to episode 84. 4 years ago, we gave a great many explanations, but unfortunately, Turkey has returned to its early days, to its prehistoric era, meaning the Islamic Russian Republic of Turkey. Due to ignorance, once again, the people did what they should not have done. Anyway, another one of these bad people, or a bad man, has started working again on the geographical stage of the world. And his power will grow day by day for the next wars and the next massacres. In the program, Prophecies of Shah Nimatullah Wali, 4 years ago, and in the Goodnight Iran series, I explained that the world will have leaders and will have kings or presidents who will lead the world toward a third world war. This was a very important point for you to know. And when you look at the leaders of the Iranian government, you see that their mental and intellectual level is so low that they really think this way. We'll strike Saudi Arabia, we'll kill them over there, we'll blow this place up. And the aid to Yemen was because of this very point I mentioned, that when the Yamani reaches Yemen, the Sufyani ascends the pulpit. It's as if they are acting exactly from a script, meaning the Russians, the English, and if you'll allow me, the Iranians, Syria, even Saudi Arabia, and many other countries. It's as if they are directing the wars from a script, and it seems everyone is taking the path of war to a place where, as they say in a Nostradamus-like fashion, the events that are supposed to happen will happen. For the fanatical Iranians, the appearance of the Imam of Time will draw near for them, and for the Russians and many other people, their prophecies will be fulfilled, and they'll say, well, this is how it was, and this is what happened. Now, well, pay attention to yourselves. This is the reality of history. When you hand over your property, your wife, your honor, your child, and your country to a person who is mentally insane, when you get into a car whose driver is mad and foolish, expect to be overturned and crushed, and your protest is a mistaken protest, and your protest is precisely a protest against your own ignorance. The driver who is now in Iran is a mentally ill driver who will change the world, not just Iran. The Russians are the same, the English are the same. As long as they could feast in Iran, they feasted. Now that Hashemi and the others are gone, their structure has changed. Now they want to do something completely different, go for disintegration. Meaning its second phase, which we now see with the Americans sending countless aircraft carriers toward North Korea, so that if they want to attack Iran, if you'll permit me, they can cut off the arms of Bashar al-Assad, namely the Russians and the Iranians, and do something that would at least prevent Iran from disintegrating. We always spend a few minutes on the Restart program because it has a very large audience, 4 or 5 minutes talking about political issues so that you are kept in the loop. And this week I will probably do Good Night Iran 73. That is 12 episodes ahead, so that if, God forbid, our radio is cut off, at least I will have done that program. And be sure to listen to the program these weeks to know in which direction some of the world's structures are heading. Anyway, whatever we may pass over, the words of the friend are sweeter. We started with a poem by Rumi for you, and we are talking about it. Let's see what Rumi's view of the universe is. We will read the poem again to see that every time we read it, we keep unpacking it more and more, so that after program 100, it will be easier to convey these concepts. And, if you please, I have said nothing of my own in these programs so far. The evidence for it is hidden in history and exists, but you have not paid attention to anything. It's like Pythagoras, who was one of the great Sufis of that era, and all the great scientists of the world. except for Ptolemy and Aristotle and a few others who said the sun revolves around the earth. The rest of the educated scientists who advance physics, mathematics, and chemistry in the world, even music, they did so based on the inspiration and permission of the complete human of their time. From Mendeleev, the greatest prophet in the history of the universe, who arranged the elements and delivered a great prophecy in the realm of chemistry, to Beethoven and many others, for whom we will soon release the evidence for you. Even Pythagoras, if you search, you will see that he traveled to Iran to kiss the hand of the complete human of that time, and his work is clear. From that point on, Greece became Greece. From that point, knowledge moved toward Greece because we Iranians did not deserve knowledge at that time. In those delightful conditions, with that great country, with that abundance of sustenance, and with a great king like Cyrus, the Sufis still followed the little mullahs, the little rabbis, the little priests, and the little Zoroastrian priests, meaning right after Cyrus left Iran, that is, after Cyrus passed away, they handed the government over to Mullahism. At that time it was the Zoroastrian Magi. They gave it to the mullahs. This is documented, meaning we have unfortunately had these problems throughout history, and Iranians have always made this mistake and turned to superstition. Now, what does superstition mean? Superstition is what they call narration. They narrate that Hosseini said on the Restart program that all those who go to the war fronts, if you'll permit me, are martyrs. They are all in hell. Then someone else says, "Sir, I never heard such a thing. I listened to the program. He said whoever becomes a defender of the shrine is hell-bound, not a martyr of the Holy Defense Iran-Iraq war." It has nothing to do with the year of the Holy Defense. Superstition means he narrates that over there there's an Huri, a Hilman, and you go from here to there. Screw your wife and kids and screw your family and honor and dignity and humanity and integrity and all that. You go and keep kissing Huris, meaning, in essence, you keep driving your car over there, honking for the Huris, picking them up and taking it easy, this Huri, that Huri, this Huri. After that, you drink from a river of honey, you sit there and drink your booze, and well, you basically just go to heaven. If you do good deeds, you just go straight to heaven. You chase girls, you honk your horn, and you drink booze and moonshine, and you'll probably do a little lambada with Jesus and Moses in between, and the Honorable Abolfazl has surely opened a disco by the name of Disco Abolfazl, and everyone is dancing and singing. This is what they call superstition. Knowledge means being wise. When I told you that the empire of Sufism or the empire of Cyrus the Great will soon be the rule of the wise over the people in Iran, it means that scientists, the great minds of wisdom, literacy is only number two, true knowledge means the wise, along with the other literate people and the top scorers on the university entrance exams, they will come to rule so that we can progress, and there is no need to... If a person saw this like Archimedes, right now, if they had a little meet and greet with the complete human, who is Iranian, chemists and physicists would once again be produced in Iran, and science is supposed to come out of Iran again. These are very important points. We explain this there. Wisdom means separation from stupidity, from ignorance. What does wisdom mean? What does narration say? The narrator says, "Sir, I heard the sun revolves around the earth." The wise person says, "Sir, the earth revolves around the sun, and I have seen it." Then the wise person sees it, says it, and still nobody listens. Narration means, "I narrate a hadith," qala Sadiq alayhi salam, meaning Imam Sadiq said. What did he say? He said, "Sir, eat butter after tea." Now maybe he had an illness at the time and ate butter. Not everyone should eat butter after tea. Narration means lies. Narration means superstition. Superstitions that exist in the essence of you and me. And science is something that is seen, meaning Molavi sees and explains. This is called knowledge, meaning wisdom. So what is wisdom called in the world? It's called going to Mars and seeing it. You either have to see it with a telescope, or you have to see inside a substance with a microscope, or you have to get on something and go where? Go to Mars and see. This becomes the meaning of wisdom and science. Anything you say about Mars is slander and bullshit and lies and narration and hadith. So anything said about Mars becomes narration and hadith. I explained it very simply in just one line. So whoever goes to Mars or sees Mars at NASA or does something that this is called science, the rest is all superstition. Do you know what metaphysics is like? No, we don't. So it's superstition. So don't talk, don't gossip, be silent so that the spirit may speak for you. You know nothing. Those who see are those who have advanced in mysticism and Sufism and have made the spiritual journey. Mr. Hosseini, we still haven't understood what journey means. Do we have extra Martians? What does extra Martian mean? Right now on Mars, do the Martians, the rocks on Mars, believe that we have beings called extra Martians? Is this superstition? Number. It is the essence of science. We have now sent a spacecraft to Mars. This spacecraft that we sent, the Martians can call it an extra Martian spacecraft, meaning for the Martians, an unknown being has entered their world. The mother's womb, where the child was, nobody knew anything about its contents. Now we have extra womb, meaning we use a device, we see how the baby moves inside the mother's womb. What happens? Beings from outside the mother's womb enter the mother's womb and then show what the baby sees at 2 months, what it does. Extra mommy's womb. Right now, restart is being broadcast extra Iran, meaning you are sitting over there and you have scientifically downloaded our app, and you are listening to this program. Religions say, what do you need an app for? Close your eyes and see something. No, if you close your eyes, you can't see. This becomes extra Iranian, meaning a being called waves enters a place and you hear it through a scientific system. Journey means a vehicle. I am explaining all this. So we know that journey refers to an object that I ride. What does journey mean? It means I get on this object. I will go to Mars. Can anyone do such a thing now? Yes. The people of Sufism have been doing this for thousands of years. They have the vehicle. Journey to the heavens means ascension to the sky, meaning going into the sky, meaning delving into the sky. Do we have extraterrestrial beings? Yes, we do. Just as we come and send something to Mars to understand what's going on Mars, there are beings who send things to see what's going on Earth. This is completely scientific. It is true that the atheist rocks and agnostics on Mars do not believe in extra Martian beings. But we have really sent a spacecraft, and this is extra Martian. These spacecraft are called intelligent. So when does intelligence get created? When it has no life, no existence. So intelligence is not related to people. This is an incorrect term when they say so-and-so is intelligent. An intelligent person is someone who, as Molavi says, dies in order to see, die in this love. When you die, you become intelligent. Look, we have now sent a spacecraft to Mars. Mars comes and rotates. It also rotates around the sun, and we are also rotating around the sun. A point comes where the sun is between me and Mars. The signal from that spacecraft is cut off from me. But that spacecraft is intelligent and preserves itself so that it can later deliver its pictures or sound to me. Intelligence is fundamentally related to a being that dies, meaning it has no relation to life, existence, food, drink, or air. This is called intelligent. When I say restart, people are intelligent. I don't mean the intelligence they talk about. I mean that because the wisdom of restart has entered their bodies like a virus, they, without understanding or wanting to, when they read the Divan of Hafez, they understand it better. They have become brave. That is why the Islamic Republic is very afraid of them. Meaning with restart, hope came into society, into the opposition outside the country, who for 39 years were just spinning around themselves like a fountain. Hope came, and despair and hopelessness were splashed in the faces of the officials. As you can see, their faces have turned pale. Everyone is broadcasting restart for me and talking about the laws of Cyrus. Slowly, slowly, Cyrus began. Until now, they were cursing, and now they all say, we must do this and we must do that. So it is related to wisdom. Intelligence is related to wisdom, dear listener. It is not related to literacy. We want to explain these things to see what is hidden within them. So an extraterrestrial being is a being that is a robot. It has intelligence, and it comes to planet Earth for the tests it has to perform. Now, who sends these? That's an important question. Where do they live? These are important questions. This is called intelligence, which has no relation to the life of the universe. When Malavi dies, in 1 second, time is completely removed from him. When time is completely removed from him, he sees some things and he comes and says, if the lover's soul breathes a word, it sets this world on fire slash, and this rootless world, it shatters like atoms. He sees this, he is a knower, he is wise, he has seen, he has gone and seen. What did he go with? He went with a vehicle. We have 2 or 3 types of journeys. We have one journey where an unmanned device goes to Mars, talks for 2 hours, and comes back. We have a journey that sends sounds, sends waves from Mars, from this device. It returns, it's a new journey. The day will come when I, Hosseini, will sit in this journey and go to Mars. Here they will say, a human went to Mars. In Sufism and mysticism, when you find the complete human, he gives you something. That thing he gives you, when you hold on tight to that thing he gave you and spend time on it, as much time as you spend chasing girls, gathering your friends to dance, or constantly praying and fasting and paying religious taxes, or constantly reading narrations and hadiths without understanding any of them, just like a memory hard drive in your head. This event happens afterwards, meaning they give you something that when you understand it, several types of vehicles are produced within you evolutionarily, like a journey. Let's go back to the mother's womb to see what this means. The moment the baby is in the mother's womb, you see that it has hands, it has feet. Neither its hands are used, nor its feet. Its eyes are also not used at all. Whenever it comes out of the mother's womb, it realizes there are billions and billions of things it must see. So the eye in the mother's womb is a ridiculous element and organ. When the baby is produced in the mother's womb, when it comes into being, they have given it something else called puberty. The puberty that is given to it after the age of 15. It is embedded in the baby's seed, meaning its journey is written within it, meaning it says this child at some point in time, even though it doesn't reach puberty now, because, dude, there are no girls in mommy's womb for you to honk at and pick up. He can't chase girls in here. Right now we've given him something, something embedded in his being, in his body, somewhere we don't know. We've given it. We don't know means you and me. They know means the people of Sufism. The wise means they know. We don't know that something has been embedded in this child that when it comes out, you suddenly see it's become different, its voice changes, its mustache grows. Where was this given to him? It was given to him in the mother's womb, not given to him outside, like the eye that was given to him inside, which he uses outside. The angels and the forces present in this child, the circulation of the electron around the nucleus, were given to him in the mother's womb. Puberty was given to him. Friendship was given to him. Love was given to him. Children at the age of 4, 8, 10, whenever they see their 6-year-old female cousin, they just play together. No love arises. When he reaches a certain age after puberty, they call it the journey of love. Well, so was this element of the journey of kissing given to him in the mother's womb, or did it come into being outside? No, it was given to him in the mother's womb. Slowly, slowly, he came out and understood. When the child is in the mother's womb, after the big bang that happens in the universe of the mother's womb, and the cells begin mitosis and meiosis divisions, something else is given to this person called journey, meaning a force with a strong magnetic field possessing a special gravity. We don't know from where. Do extraterrestrial beings cram the soul into the mother's womb? We do not know. They know. And without the world understanding, the child becomes possessed of another special soul called I. not magnetic forces, not intermolecular forces. This thing that is given to this child is used after puberty, and for this very reason, the phrase of the people of Sufism to mock the Muslims and to mess with them. Because whenever Sufism wants to say something, mysticism and Sufism have generally always mocked that religion. They mock it in such a way that it is always mocked whenever it moves. They did this to the Christians, they did this to the Zoroastrians, right up to now. But regarding the Muslims who also... In Iran, Muslims, there is a sentence from the people of Sufism that was said to the Muslims, which in essence was mocking them, meaning both Sunni and Shia are completely up in the air. What is that sentence? It says, prayer is the believer's journey. Meaning the moment you begin to pray, do you get on a spaceship and go? Hell no. Sir, we are looking at the feet of the person in front of us. Mr. Hosseini, we don't get on anything at all. That prayer, you should put it where you have to flush the toilet. Why? Because there is no vehicle there. Do you see anything in church? Number. So it has no benefit. You see nothing. It is called prayer is the believer's journey. Meaning whoever prays connects via Skype to a being, sees that individual, and establishes a connection with them. First, he performs a journey within himself. What does that mean? When the child reaches puberty, first the journey of puberty is produced within himself in the mother's womb, and then in reality he sees that puberty, and when he reaches puberty, now he is terrified or surprised. But after he gets married, he understands the evolutionary concept of this journey of puberty. We return to Molavi's poem. Molavi reveals a great secret. If the lover's soul breathes a word, it sets this world on fire, and this rootless world, it shatters like atoms. It's as if Molavi is saying that religions are lying, that the first human was Adam. The first human that was created was a being they call Mom, All, the mother of all beings in the universe. He reveals a secret, saying that her name is God's beloved, and the world comes into being after God's lovemaking with this beloved. So he does not state the origin of humanity from Adam. Thus, the whole story of the apple and the wheat goes out the window. It's as if before the creation of Adam in the world, another being was discovered, invented, created, came into being. Molavi here indicates that the being that came into the world is both a discovery and an invention. He reveals another secret, that is, when God creates a being, he places something in it that is a discovery of himself, Ho, and an invention for the universe. For the first time in the world, a being is created that is both a discovery and an invention. Do we have such a thing on planet Earth that is both a discovery and an invention? 99% of the things in the universe are both discovery and invention, like the acceleration of gravity. The Earth's gravitational acceleration has now been discovered, but it existed, it can also be invented later. But the real being that is both a discovery and an invention is a being about whose beard and mustache and eyebrows and ears and chest and legs and nose and hair and knots and locks and things Molavi speaks of that are before the creation of Adam, meaning there was a lover who had a beloved. If the lover's soul breathes a word, it sets this world on fire, and this rootless world, it shatters like atoms. Which we will explain after program 100, what that being is. Everything that is in the macrocosm, meaning the big world we go to after our death. You see, I keep saying after our death, and I bring you back to mommy's womb. What were you using in mommy's womb? In mommy's womb, I was using the water from mommy's womb, using gills. When you come to planet Earth, what do you use? I use air. When you want to go to Mars, what do you use? I take air with me, Mr. Hosseini. It's a vacuum there. So when you die to return to planet Earth, you have to buy air to come back, meaning you swipe a credit card there. You have to buy air. That's why every dead person who goes, their soul doesn't come back, as we say. I'm giving an example. In the mother's womb, from a cavity, from a womb called the mother's bubble, you are born into the world. You understand billions of things. The moment you die, you come out of the Big Bang bubble. You needed to understand this, meaning the solar system doesn't exist. Then you come out of the first bubble, meaning the bubble you live in, which contains the solar system and the Milky Way galaxy and all the galaxies and billions of galaxies. It's all inside one womb, that when you lift your head, you see a new sea, a new sky, with gravitational breathing. This time your breathing is not vacuum-based. So whoever dies emerges from a bubble in which the Big Bang, meaning time, has begun. So after the bubble in which time has begun, he comes out, it is a new birth. Because at that moment you do not need time. Oh my God, what does that mean? Let's review again. When you die, time is lifted from you. When time is lifted from you, last time I told you everything you see in the heavens and all that, it's all in one bubble, like a soap bubble. Your head pops out of a new mommy's womb called the bubble. Now that the head pops out of here, you see it's a new sea and a new sky. Now if you want to go back to Earth to see something, you must have both a vacuum breathing apparatus and air. So in that world, when you die, you cannot breathe in a vacuum. To travel this distance, you have to get on something to come. You have to travel for 13 billion years to arrive. Now let's say 7 and a bit billion years. Let's take you on a good road. They know the good roads. The kids are good drivers over there. They bring you on the good roads, and it's closer. Its speed is less. 6-7 billion years. You have to get on something to come and see your mom, whether she is living with that husband of hers or not. Did she continue or not? Now go ahead and read the Quran at the grave. It's that simple. In your mom's womb and behind your dad's back, what were you breathing? What air were you using? There you were breathing something called DNA, chromosome, sperm. Look what they breathe. What is their respiration? You entered the mother's womb. You used gills. Now, if you want to go back into the mother's womb, you have to scuba dive. They have to attach something to your nose so you can in the water of the mother's womb. Now, let's imagine I turn the mother's womb into a swimming pool. If you want to live there for 9 months, you must have an oxygen tank strapped to your back to go into mom's womb. Otherwise, you'll die in mom's womb. When you come to planet Earth, you breathe air. When you leave planet Earth, you breathe vacuum. So vacuum and air and mom's womb and DNA, these are beings for breathing for the continuation of survival. So you die. Where do you die from? You come out of the bubble. After the bubble, your breath is completely different. The beauty of girls is different. The joy of driving is different. And for your return, you must strap on both a vacuum tank and an air tank. To reach planet Earth, you have to buy air. Who sells air there? Supermarkets that sell air and vacuum. So you can come. These things you see are very simple. Whenever you want to go back, you go back to mom's womb. You see everything you need to see. The whole world becomes a memory. The sea from awe becomes nothingness. No Adam remains, no human, if he strikes himself against Adam. He says, when that beautiful one, meaning who, creates the world with his beautiful beloved, meaning the complete human, perhaps we are currently talking about this. A being, what being it is important. With that, when lovemaking comes into existence, the world is produced. The whole world becomes a sea. The sea from awe becomes nothingness. No human remains, no man. No Adam remains, no human if he strikes. Himself against Adam. Smoke will rise from the heavens. Neither creation nor angel will remain. It is completely clear. So he is saying that this beautiful one, this being that God created, existed before the smoke will rise from the heavens. Neither creation nor angel will remain. Meaning whatever has been created does not exist. And the angels also do not exist. These are produced. It's scientific. This being exists. It is wise. It's not a narration. Qala Sadiq alayhi salam, you idiot, is not a narration. Jesus. I heard Jesus. It's not a narration. It's scientific. Meaning, he went and saw. Neither angels exist, nor creation exists. This beautiful one or that being, something exists. From that smoke, suddenly a fire strikes the dome of the world. Everyone has used this dome of the world. Hafez says, I have not heard a sound sweeter than the speech of love, a memento that in this revolving dome remains. This is a dome, and everyone has seen it. Everyone has seen that scene. Everyone has gone. Everyone rode the journey, this vehicle. It's a motorbike they ride and go. Everyone has gone and seen. At a time when you didn't know what Skype was, my mom and your mom used to travel around on donkeys. These guys were coming and going. The sky will split at that moment. Neither being nor place remains. A tumult will fall upon the world, and this feast will strike upon morning. Sometimes fire carries away water. Sometimes water consumes fire. Sometimes the wave of the sea of non-existence strikes the white and the black horse. The sun will fall short of the light of the human soul. From here he is explaining another condition. Now he is entering the solar system. Where did he come from? He is explaining. He has other poems that open it up nicely. He explains second by second. That's how Malavi is. He is explaining the Big Bang second by second. The sun will fall short of the light of the human soul. Ask little of the uninitiated, where the initiated speaks little. Mars will abandon its masculinity. Jupiter will burn its books. The moon will no longer have seniority. Its joy will strike upon sorrow. Very interesting. Now these are things that Galileo later came and forced the world to understand, that my God, we are revolving around the sun. Look where and when the poems are from. Think about its time, think about its time. Malavi says, Mars will abandon its masculinity. Jupiter will burn its books. The moon will no longer have seniority. Its joy will strike upon sorrow. He introduces three beings named Mars, Jupiter, and the moon. For you to understand this verse, you must definitely understand Mars, understand Jupiter, and understand the moon. And you must also understand their numerical proportions. Meaning you have to understand, for example, what the diameter of Mr. Mars is relative to planet Earth. What about the moon? You see that this one is one half, that one is also one half. You have to see how long its year and day are. You'll understand that it's different. It's as if its year is twice as long. Then you have to see why the moon doesn't have a magnetic field. You have to understand, you have to be there to see, you have to see the collision of two beings with each other, you have to see the creation of the moon, you have to see why these three are located next to each other. Mars revolves around the sun in 687 days, meaning its year is 600 and something days. It also has two moons. Mars will abandon its masculinity. Jupiter has 57 or 58 moons. It's as if Malavi is explaining here that Jupiter collided with something and the Earth was created. The Earth collided with Mars and the Moon was created. Meaning he's explaining the genesis of planet Earth. He says, sir, the moment these supernovas, those explosions, occurred, they kept colliding with each other. Jupiter would collide with something. The Earth comes into being, meaning we are a piece of Jupiter. And the Earth would collide with Mars. The Moon is produced. These three, all three, are vigilant about the meteors that come. If we remove one of these three, I think half of planet Earth will be blown up in 6 days. They would see all the meteors of the universe. The largest magnetic field in the universe in the solar system is Jupiter. Its mass is 2.5 times the total mass of all the planets revolving around the sun. Let's put its rotation and its day. These are all important. He has placed these three next to each other to make you understand, sir. Do you see how the moon was created? Do you know what role and age the moon has? In order to see the moon, you must know it. When you know the moon, you know it scientifically. You don't say, Jesus said, yes, Ptolemy, yes, Aristotle, the sun revolves around the earth. No, he sees it is wisdom. At that time, Mr. Malavi is explaining, the distance of the earth from the moon is 400 times the distance of the sun from the earth. It is very interesting. Its own numbers are 400 times. Their masses are also like this. For us to know before this what the religions call Noah's flood, what geologists call that world event. How many days was our month? Our month was 11 days. Do you remember I talked about Noah? I said that each month of Noah is considered a year. Its name was a year. When they said Noah lived for over 1,000 years, it means our own 100 and something years. Only the name of his calendar was different. The moon, this very moon you are seeing, is moving away from us. There was a time when the month was 11 days, 10 days. meaning this rotational space itself. Let's say our month was 8 days, 10 days. Now our month is 30 or 31 days. Soon, in a few hundred years, our month will be 59 days, meaning each month is 59 days. Time keeps changing like this. Now look at the rotation, look at its rotation around itself, and many other things. Here, he explains, the moon is no longer the chief for itself there. Mercury will fall into the mud, fire will fall upon Saturn. Otarid is Mercury. Mercury is the only thing whose year and month have locked. See how beautifully he brings three new beings again in the next verse. He could have put any of them above. The choice of these planets next to each other from Rumi's perspective is truly shocking. This man is the pinnacle of astronomy. It's as if he slept on Jupiter at night and ate his breakfast in the middle of Mars. Mercury will fall into the mud. Mercury, because it is close to the sun, is on fire. He says, how do they get destroyed? He wants to show their destruction. He says, for Mercury to be destroyed, you have to lay it in the mud. Now, why in the mud? Why not in water? It's very interesting for you to know this. These are very important things you should know. If you knew Uranus too, you would have understood why in mud, why not in water. He could have said, for example, Mercury will fall into water. He says Mercury will fall into the mud, i.e. mud. Fire will fall upon Saturn. This is also very interesting to know. Mr. Galileo himself had discovered it at that time. In his mind. With his telescope, he had raised his head so much, had fought with his wife, had not eaten dinner at home. The wife would say, let's go to the wedding. He wouldn't go. He was constantly looking at the sky through that hole. Mr. Galileo discovered that around Saturn, these things that exist, they are solid. But Mulavi says, no, they are not solid, they are ice. He says fire burns it, meaning the rings of Saturn are made of ice. The word ice is a special word. He uses the word fire here. Sometimes fire carries away water, sometimes water consumes fire. He uses it here, he shows it nicely. He says, for the destruction of Mercury, mud. Fire will fall upon Saturn. Later they realized that Mulavi was right, meaning there is ice around Saturn. Mercury will fall into the mud, fire will fall upon Saturn, Venus will have no courage left until the curtain of the end of time. In this verse again, these three are related, meaning Mercury revolves around the sun twice and around itself three times, as if it is locked in this state, meaning 1 year it revolves around itself three times and around the sun twice. Now let's see what Venus is. The word courage and Venus are written the same way in Farsi because Venus's year and day are also the same. Remember, it's very interesting. Astronomically, it's the same. Why does he write courage similar to Venus here in this poem? So you know that if you live on Venus, when one day passes, a year of yours has also passed, meaning the revolution of Venus around the sun is equal to the revolution of Venus around itself, meaning for every single word you must explain the astronomy within it. Then you will properly know Venus, know Mercury, know Saturn, see what use he is making of this. Anyway, we keep going back and forth, meaning we keep going back and coming forward. Let's see what events happen and, if you'll permit me, what we see and what we find in the world after death. In the world after death, we look to see what we will need when we are dead. Why are a baby's eyes and ears and hands and feet not used in the mother's womb? But now you see how much they are used. Well, shouldn't you listen to Restart now to see what you should use when you are dead? When you die, what should you use? What should you have? Strengthen it to use it on the other side. Or do you want to go to the other side and see that you want to start over there again until you reach puberty? Do you know how long it took here? 15 years. Over there it will take 55 billion years to reach puberty. And just as you reach puberty, then you swipe your credit card, but you can't find a girl. You've reached puberty, so what? Screw you. He says, I'm willing, you're willing, to hell with the judge. Now, how are you going to use this puberty? How is wisdom used there? What is your breath? What do you think? He explains it afterwards. Neither the bow remains, nor the arrow. We will explain in future programs. To see what that world is like after you come out of the bubble, meaning what the next sky is like, what kind of bubble was formed when the Big Bang happened in it, and all the galaxies and these things are inside it? Well, I entrust you to who, considering how much money we have to pay now for a 2x2 house. He has created so many galaxies that he can register 500 galaxies in each person's name. May you build your villa, God willing, in the Milky Way galaxy. Let us into your home too, into your Milky Way galaxy. We entrust you to Hua, who when he roared, he called the Beloved. He created a being through whom the world was created. And what is the name of that being? We will address it in future programs. Farewell. Thank you for listening to this program.